Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark Millennial Ben, presented by Breaks Plus. Yeah, just a quick capper on Michael Porter Jr.'s night. 4-14, 9 of the 14 shots were threes, 0 free throw attempts.
That's the thing. You're 6'10", dude. 6'11". Athlete. Mix it up. You know, there's a difference between being...
Quit asking.
Being an elite-level potential shooter and being a scorer. And when your shot, when he's knocking down shots, he's tough to contend with. But those nights when you're not knocking down shots, it's like a pitcher when he doesn't have his A stuff. Can you still get us through six? You know, give up two runs and grind through six. You don't have your A stuff. Your A stuff is not there. Can you still find outs? And then when you're an elite level, when you're supposed to be an elite level scorer, like, scorers find ways to score even when their shots aren't getting knocked down. They at the end of the night, they're not knocking down shots, but you know what they are? 11 for 13 from the foul line, they come away with 24. You know what I mean? That's how they are, as opposed to, hey, I got 11, but I was only 4 from, you know, I was 4 from whatever, from the foul line.
You've created something with your empty production player.
Empty production.
That's gaining traction. Hashtag empty production player. And talking about Noah Fant. Tim Inoko wants to know if Patrick Mahomes has become an empty production player.
Yeah, he's a Super Bowl. There's nothing. Hey, there is very little
wrong
with...
Okay, he's a Super Bowl MVP. Okay.
He's having.
I can point to other Super Bowl MVPs that were suspect.
Other than the interceptions. And the interceptions tell a story, they don't tell the whole story. Statistically speaking, he's better than he was at any time in 2019 or 2020 statistically. Other than the interceptions, which, you know, are obviously part of the story, and some of them are his fault, but. Who was the coach who told me probably 70% of quarterbacks' interceptions go on receivers? Go on somebody else screwing it up.
Yeah, but Mahomes is making some decisions, some plays that just.
But part of that
was if you didn't know Patrick Mahomes' background to this point, and you were just like flipping. Footage of him for the first time, you'd be like, who's this guy? How's he playing in the league?
Let me ask you this. You're supposed to, like, you know, going into any given game, we're so bad on the defensive side of the football that I've got to hang, our offense has to hang 35 on these clowns for us to even have, and we still may lose 36-35. So, and you only have you're only going to have X amount of drives because of the way the game is going to go, because everybody's going to, you know, play keep away from your offense. What do you think is going to happen to you? Like, you've done a million shows. Let's say that you have to do a radio show with a guy that you know isn't going to say anything. He's new. He's never done radio before. He's going to give you one word answers. He's not going to tell any stories. You know, at the end of that 3 hours, you're exhausted.
Right, right.
Because you know you got to carry the load.
Right.
You don't have a minute to exhale.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that would put a lot of pressure. Yeah,
it puts a lot of pressure.
Sure.
And so at the end of the day, you're just exhausted. Like, at the end of the day, he's like, man, if we don't hang 35, and we still may lose, you know, 37-35, but we got to hang 35 just to have a chance. You're taking chances that in a normal situation, when you have a defense that can hold somebody to 20, in a normal game, you'd say, let me throw this one away. Instead, you're going, let me fit this one in there. That's what's going on with Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Look, I'll take my chances with Patrick Mahomes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly not putting him out to pasture, but here's the thing, though. And this will be interesting to watch. You're paying Patrick Mahomes a lot of money. And what have we seen a lot in the NFL? That once you start paying your quarterback a certain percentage of your salary cap, and no matter how much you try to say, yeah, we've spread it out over a certain amount of time, and it's cap, doesn't matter. It's still a big chunk of change. It's going to impact your ability to pay other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you continue to play and perform at that level? Saw it happen with Seattle, right?
Sure.
They paid Russell. All of a sudden, they couldn't pay all those defensive guys that were coming up for new deals.
Yeah.
Seattle hasn't been quite the same. Are we seeing that right away now with Kansas City, where they've invested so much money on their offense that what are they going to do on their defensive side of the ball? And is that going to keep them from being the dynasty that never was? Maybe the same thing happened with Green Bay. You know, you paid Aaron Rodgers. It impacted your ability to go out and win multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Maybe it happened faster than we thought with Kansas City. But is that what we're seeing?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that they don't figure it out. I hope that their defense doesn't get better. Because as much as I hate what's going on with the Broncos right now, at least I can take a little pleasure in somebody else's misery.
Correct.
Right? By the way, you've got a red kind of Kansas City look to you today.
Yeah, I've got a red shirt on, so.
They're in Kansas City. What's on the?
Makes me want to puke.
Let's take a little polo.
That's a little polo right there.
Oh.
So, yeah, listen. Hey, one thing you have to understand.
How did you get your head through the hole in the...
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
What? Is that... How did you get your head through the neck hole?
Why? What do you mean?
I mean, it's...
Well, it's not a new shirt. So it's had a... Let's just say it's had many opportunities to breathe.
Okay.
Over the years. Now, if this was a brand new shirt...
Right. When you pull a brand new shirt out and you're going to put it on the first time,
yeah.
Do you need help? You like get your wife and your daughter on each side of the shirt to pull it over your head? Like, all right, everybody on three. One, two, three, we go heave. One, two, three, heave!
There will be some moments where I will sort of stumble around the bedroom as I can't see because I'm still trying to pull it over my head. Yeah, it's happened. It's happened. It's like I'm in a hockey fight.
Right, somebody pulls the sweater over your head.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like, you know, and I'm like bent over, like trying to gain a little bit of like torque. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was looking.
Come on now, let's go.
I was just looking at the
neck
hole.
But once you get it over the first time, then each time, you know, it comes a little easier.
Right.
Okay. If this thing was brand new, it would have been a workout.
Yeah. There is.
Okay.
There's no question.
But this thing has been.
I was just looking at the overall snugness around the neck fit, and I was like, there's no.
No, there's, look, I can get
your head so big.
A little room in there.
Yeah,
now.
You do. But no. It was just the way the shirt was
but
sitting.
If that was new.
Right. It was the way it was sitting at first. It looked like, wow, that's a pretty snug neck hole. How did you get that over that bean?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Ryan, Missouri. Hey, yeah. Stink, I thought Mahomes was a unicorn. Maybe you need to walk that back.
No.
Shouldn't matter what the defense does. I guess he's not, is he?
No, he is. Ryan in Missouri. Ryan in Missouri must be a Locke fan. Drew Locke's from.
It's not like Kansas City's defense has been a juggernaut.
No.
The last few years, and Mahomes did just fine.
Where's Mahomes rank? Like, where is he? Like, just statistically. He's got to be in the top of just about every statistical category, yards and touchdowns.
Oh, but wait a minute.
I'm going to throw it right back. There are numbers, but then there's empty production numbers. Are his numbers empty production?
His numbers aren't empty production because he's chasing points 24/7. Now, I mean, there's, you know, you can talk about philosophical approach to football and, you know, how Andy Reid doesn't want to throw the ball and all that kind of stuff.
But see, I don't like that. I think that's kind of a, hollow excuse because the beauty of football is, okay, your defense gave up a touchdown. Here's the beauty. They're going to kick off. You get a chance to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's not like, you know, lacrosse or something where you can score and then do a face-off and get the ball right back again. You get the ball back. You get a chance to answer. So I think you're making too many excuses for Mahomes and the Chiefs.
I'm not making it.
They get the ball back.
I'm not making it. I'm not making excuses. I'm telling you the reasons.
Go down and score.
I'm telling you the reason.
Hey, when they won the Super Bowl, they were down 24-0 to Houston.
And I am
didn't bother them.
Yeah,
didn't faze them.
I'm taking pleasure, Mike. I'm taking pleasure in
there. It's not as much as you should take. I don't know. You're showing a lot of sympathy.
Well, I'm just not gonna.
Maybe we should just play the song too while Mark's at it, huh? Babe, let's go all the way.
I mean, it speaks volumes to this team and like how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomena.
This is your fault, Mark.
But by the way, though, I mean, this may be my fault.
Haven't played it in weeks.
It's kind of fun, though, isn't it? A little bit.
Yeah, I do miss it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like when they play that new commercial now, where we have an animal in the attic.
Oh yeah.
I take him home every time.
Yeah. Mahomes X.
Why? Ask. Because it's a Muppet is why. Hey, man. Let's enjoy it while we can.
Yeah, you know what?
Let's enjoy it while we can.
It is a good point.
Something tells me that they'll be able to fix it.
Something tells me when we face off, we're going to be looking at the wrong end of a lopsided score.
Right? You got to beat them this year, don't you? You have to beat them this year.
By the way.
You have to beat them this year.
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
11 in a row? You got to end it this year.
Let me ask you another question. Just something else I wrote down here. Is it a stretch to say that the two best players on your offense right now have probably been Javonte Williams and Gordon?
As far as production or passing the eye test?
Just passing the eye test.
Those two and Tim Patrick? And Sutton. I don't have a problem with Sutton.
No, but eye test would tell you those guys have probably been two of the best players on your offense, correct?
Yes. Williams and Gordon, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How come you can't figure out a way to keep them more involved?
And not only just running the ball. Wouldn't you try to just a steady diet of screen passes just to get the ball into their hands in space, see what they can do?
Absolutely. Set up your screen. Set up, like, I want the ball in the hands of the guy. Like, Cortland is probably not going to be a yard after catch dude, right? He's running, you know, he's running a deep out or an in-cutting route or what. He's going to catch it. He's going to go on a go. He's going to catch it. He'll be tackled. He's not going to be a lot of yards after catch. He's not one of those guys that you're going to run a looky inside. He's going to catch a slant. Then he's going to shake three guys down and get an extra 15 yards. That he's going to get tackled. Right? That's probably true. Tim Patrick, kind of the same in my mind. What the kind of routes you're running, the kind of production you're getting out of that guy, right? Who on this offense gives you a chance for yards after catch? And the touchdown to Gordon, right? You're running, you know, he's just leaking out of the backfield.
Yeah.
break a tackle, 3 points.
He runs hard, right?
Contact balance. Right. He got tackled about the three, put his hand down, kept his balance, then dove for the touchdown.
Yep.
We know that Noah Fant's not going to get yards after contact. He'll go down on first contact. At least that's what he's proven the last couple of weeks. So you've got your two most productive players, in my mind, from the standpoint of catching it and making something happen that's productive, are Gordon and Javonte Williams.
Well, file this all under just what is Pat Shurmur looking at when he devises a game plan? Because, Mark, this is something that even those of us who did not play the game, we talked about all summer long,
right?
That once you made the move for Javonte Williams and traded up to get him, paired him with Melvin Gordon, the idea of this could be a formidable 1-2 punch.
Right.
And maybe I'm oversimplifying things, but in this league, if you have the quarterback,
how'd that work out?
If you have the quarterback, that quarterback, you become less reliant on your running game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you have the quarterback.
Right.
Because in this league, all the rules are tailored to throwing the football. If you have that kind of quarterback, you'd be foolish to not take advantage of it. And the teams that have those quarterbacks, they're taking advantage of it. But if you do not have that quarterback, then you do have to rely upon your running backs and your running game. And at least on paper, the Broncos were set up knowing that you weren't going to have whoever won the 50-50, air quotes, 50-50 flip a coin contest, which we know was a charade. But the idea was, hey, at least you're going to have two running backs, not one, but two, that you can use to really support your quarterback and get the most out of him and get the most out of your offense. Instead, here we are looking at the last four games, all losses.
Mm-hmm.
The combined rushing attempts between Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, the two guys that we thought could really be used to help bolster Teddy Bridgewater in this offense. Here are the combined carries the last four losses. 12, 21, 17, 16. Now, if you've got Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, top quarterback, then those running back totals, rushing totals, who cares?
Right.
Right? Who cares? But you don't have that kind of quarterback. And until you do have that kind of quarterback, if you do have those kind of running backs, who, as you say, are passing the production test when given the chance,
mm-hmm,
and the eye test when given the chance,
right,
why aren't you using them more?
Yeah, therein lies the $64,000 question, right? What is going on there? Why are these guys not more productive? And
I'm not sure.
Like I said, if you're struggling from an injury standpoint, now you should get
Judy.
Judy back this week. But, you know, I did a Giants game where they're minus Shepard, Kadarius Toney, CJ Board, Slayton was coming off of a hamstring, so he was limited. He played, but he was limited. You're down to Colin Johnson. You're down to some, Sills, Colin Johnson, guys that I'm saying that nobody's ever heard of because, you know, nobody's ever heard of them. They're not the guys that you came in. You lost Galladay. I mean, you've lost your four top receivers for the Giants. So you're down to a bunch of also-rans, and you've got Cortland Sutton, but, you know, you're minus Judy, you're minus Hamler, you're minus guys that you thought you were going to come in. And one of the things the Giants did last week is they simpled down, man. They used two and three tight end sets. They used two running back sets. They used 22 personnel, 21 personnel, 12 personnel. They basically mitigated, you know, their receiving position, booted their quarterback, got the flats, got their running game, did a bunch of things that were different based upon the situation we found ourselves in personnel wise. And hey, man, I'm telling you, whether it's Tyreek Cleveland or whether it's Hinton, I mean, Hinton's a great story, right?
But is he really a better option than, and I know they're down another tight end, right, because of Alvaro being down. But I don't know. It just feels, but we put in both those backs at the same time.
Why
Gordon,
not?
Gordon and Javonte Williams. Why don't we,
when we did our fan, this goes back 2 years, when we did our fan film room, and they had acquired Melvin Gordon. Remember we broke down a bunch of Melvin Gordon games?
Mm.
And what struck me about the way that the Chargers and Phillip Rivers used Melvin Gordon was how many different ways he was lined up during one game.
Right.
He'd be in a traditional I, he'd be a lone back, he'd be set off to the side, he'd be in the slot, he was even set up out wide.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a wide receiver. All in one game.
Yeah.
Have you seen that this year?
I mean, occasionally they'll, you know, when they get into empty situations, but when they get into empty, they're always in, like, they get into a doubles, like doubles formation. Doubles would be a tight end and Z on one side, a F and a X on the other side. So they can go, and that F can be, it's usually a slot receiver. Sometimes the F can be in a West Coast offense. He can be the second tight end, right? So then you get into that and you motion the guy outside the number. So you motion him, let's say you motion him weak and you go, you know, you go doubles right, H left outside, right? So you get him out there. So now you're in a 3x2 formation, or you motion him strong and you put him between the tight end and the Z receiver and he becomes like an F receiver out there. So yes, have I seen it? Absolutely. Is it more window dressing? Hey, do we get the man to man? Look at the Raiders game. They motioned out their back, linebacker Alexander Johnson went with them and they ran a little wheel route. Do you remember that? They put their back out in the slot. They ran the wheel route at the very end of the second half and, scored a touchdown with Drake over the top. Got him in man-to-man situations. Have you seen our, that's a standard kind of play, but I don't remember us hitting one of those.
Maybe I'm just playing Madden here and it's not going to work. It wouldn't work in the real NFL, but you tell me what, can you line up offensively and have, let's say, Javonte Williams as the lone back?
Sure.
And have Melvin Gordon in the slot?
Absolutely.
There's no reason why you can't do that, right? It's not going to limit you offensively. And what, and if you come out with that kind of a look, let's say you haven't given that look all year and you come out with that look, is the defense going to go, what's coming here? Does that stress the defense at all?
Well, it stresses you from a communication standpoint. We got to identify, run. Like, you look at the sideline, Mike, there's a guy holding the card in almost every game where he's holding a screen, like an electronic screen that gives you the personnel to the defense. So it gives you a little screen that shows 11, 12, 21, whatever. So you know, personnel-wise, as a defense, what they're in. So what they're most apt to do. Like, you have breakdowns going into the game. Hey, out of this personnel grouping, they're 67% run. Or, right? So you have those things. So you can use those situations as key breakers. All right. Out of 21 personnel, they've been in 21 personnel. Let's say it's, you know, 14 times this season. And they've run it out of 12 personnel. They've run it 11 times. So now you're like, all right, let's go. Let's match that personnel to heavy. So let's put in our base defense. So we've got a Will linebacker. We've got a Mike linebacker and with Sam linebacker. Now all of a sudden you motion out and he's in the slot. Now you got to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Are we in man? Are we in zone? Do we take a linebacker out there, move it over? Do we just kick everybody out? Right? Like, you got to make that decision. If they kick everybody out, right, run the pass play. If the guy's a good receiver out of the slot, you'll get a, you know, he's just in his own coverage. If they run the mic out there, now we've got, like, hey, man, we've got a great one-on-one matchup like that. We got a running back on a linebacker. That's a great matchup. Or
you know, or if they weaken the box and kick everybody out, do we have a nice two-man side to run it against? Like, those are decisions that you can make offensively.
I know it drives NFL crazy, coaches crazy, that, you know, people sit back and go, well, I could do that. But I don't know, just let's apply some common sense to this. You've got a Broncos offense that's struggling. You've got, in the case of Noah Fant, a tight end that's struggling getting separation and breaking tackles. And yet you've got two running backs who every time they've run with the football have run hard.
Right.
Have shown some ability to break tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Have shown tremendous extra effort.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I do everything possible to get the ball into their hands more?
Yeah, I know we got to go, but I will tell you this real quick. The other thing that drove me crazy, even on the broadcast of Thursday night game with Troy and Joe, well, they've gotten behind. This is the narrative, and I know it comes from, you know, your coaching staff.
We got to break. Okay. I don't want you to rush through that.
All right.
You can expand on that a little bit more.
Because I wrote it down in my notes.
All right. Handy dandy notebook. Yep. That's coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, we're talking about why not getting, when you have a struggling passing game, you don't have an elite quarterback, you got to lean on your running backs more. You got two pretty good ones that seem to pass the production and eye test in Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. Why aren't they being used more? You got something out of the broadcast with Joe and Troy.
Yeah. You know, one of the things they had said, and this is a narrative, and I'm sure it's a narrative coming out of, you know, it's a narrative coming out of Dove Valley. It's a narrative coming out of a lot of teams right now when you're struggling, right? When things aren't going the way you want them to go. And that is, hey, they got behind the last couple of games. It's really limited their opportunities. With a minute and change left in in Vegas, against the Raiders, you were a 10-7 game. Oh, that you've gotten so far behind 10-7 with a minute left in the first half that you can't run the ball anymore? Is that really what happened? Or you get disappointed in a 2 or 3 yard run because you don't have the toughness mentality to stick with it? And let that 2 or 3 yard run become 4 and 5 yard run. I mean, don't give me that. We fell behind early. Therefore, we had a scrap pile of running game. That game was 10-7 with about a minute and change left, Mike.
Well, the Raiders kicked a field goal with 2:40 left in the first to go up 10-7. They didn't score again until there were 30 seconds left in the half. So you had all that time to still be able to do what you're saying, run the football.
Right. And then Cleveland, I mean, that game was 10-7 ball game in the third quarter. Let me say it again, a 10-7 ball game in the third quarter. And Javonte Williams, your potential superstar rookie, got 4 carries. In that game. And they, Gordon had 8.
They combined for 16. No, excuse me. They combined for 12.
12. Gordon had 8.
Yeah.
He had 4. It's 10-7 in the third quarter. So I don't want to hear this. Well, we fell behind early. No. You gave up early. You decided not to early. You got exactly what you wanted.
And Shermer's not the only one, by the way. because you've made this observation before, there are plenty of offensive coordinators around the NFL who can't wait
to fail
in for the running game to fail.
Can't wait
for the running game to fail.
Can't wait.
Can't wait to be able to say, we tried.
Throw our hands up.
Yep.
Nothing we can do.
Right.
Oh, man, it doesn't work. Oh, well.
Shoot. Tried.
Yeah.
Guess we're going to have to throw the ball.
No, we got 2 yards. We're only getting 2 yards. I mean, brr.
And if you have a really, if you have an elite quarterback, go for it, man. I'm fine with that. Chuck it all over the yard. I want the ball in the air 40 times.
Or if you have elite level matchup guys.
But if you don't have that kind of quarterback, and right now they don't, you got to play a different way.
Correct. But I don't want to hear.
They got to play like Tennessee.
I don't want to hear. Yeah, I don't want to hear the narrative. They fell behind early, and they had a scrap pilot. That is garbage. Hey, man, I get it, Mike. If you drop 21-0 early, okay. I'll tip my cap. I don't necessarily agree with throwing it every time, but I understand it. But give me a break. 10-7 ball game with less than 2 minutes left in the second quarter, and you scrap piled it. 10-7 ball game in the third quarter, and you combined for 12 rushes between arguably your two best offensive players.
You know, the thing here, though, is that we dump a lot of this on Pat Shurmur.
Hey,
he doesn't operate in a vacuum, you know.
Apparently.
Well, he shouldn't. There are, as we learned earlier in talking to Mike Bliss, the Broncos organizational hierarchy has, here's Mike Bliss back at 6:40 this morning. For all of you wondering, who's in charge? What do you make of this?
For now, yes, it's Joe Ellis. And John Elway would be the primary two that would make the decision on Vic Fangio. George Payton would have input, but according to the organizational structure, he's on even footing, you know, the same land as Vic Fangio.
Oh, I thought we had moved on from this, but is this once again all John's fault? Does this all land in John's lap?
This is really my fault.
Where do you know, where do you know of any place in the NFL where the coach and GM are on equal footing? Even Shanahan Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Shanahan hired Lynch. Right?
Right. Yeah. There's got to be some type of buck stops here.
It always, yeah, exactly. I hear this all the time. Well, he's got input. Fine. Okay. Everyone's got input.
Everybody should have input.
Fine. But when it comes down to the ultimate decision being made,
yeah,
and if there is not unanimous consensus, who makes the call?
Right.
So from a football standpoint, who makes the call? Is it still Elway?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but I do know this, though, Mike. I do know this. As a head coach, you should be in charge of the coaching staff. You're the one that ultimately hired Pat Shurmur, correct? You should also be the one who says, hey, Pat, this is what we're going to do. Whether you like it or not, this is what we're going to do. And the bottom line, we may lose a game, but that other team's coming out bloodied. And put your foot down. You ever seen, somebody pointed this out on social media, I don't know, said, you ever seen Vic Fangio over talking to the quarterbacks ever on the sideline? Was it James? Oh, it was James Maryland. You ever seen your head coach actually having a conversation with your offensive players?
No.
They're young men, and they have urges.
You're telling me nobody watches what happens out there offensively and has the thought of, you know what? I'm the head coach. I'm going to go talk to Pat Shurmur and tell him I want this. Or
and maybe
I'm the general manager.
Right.
I'm going to go tell Pat Shurmur I want this.
I don't think you do it in the
I'm going to go to the head coach.
Right. You don't go to the head coach during game day if you're the general manager. But
I just laid out the four games they've lost.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that. You know, maybe Vic Fangio. But if Vic Fangio is telling Pat Shurmur, "Hey, man, I want to run the ball more," and they don't get it done, at some point, you know, at some point, don't you think you at least see a change? If you're actually addressing it,
all
that's
right.
All I'm saying.
Let's just say John Elway's in charge again, or still in charge. Never stop being in charge.
God, please, no.
You telling me he's not looking down, going, "Come on."
Yeah,
I know enough about this league to know we can't put too much on Teddy Bridgewater's plate here.
Yeah,
let's run the football more.
Right.
I won two Super Bowls finally at the end of my career because of a emphasis on running the football.
Yes.
All right, then that leads to the million-dollar question for me then is, why did George Payton take this job then? Try to answer that coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
One in Denver, Troy Z.
For now, yes, it's Joe Ellis and John Elway would be the primary two that would make the decision on Vic Fangio. George Payton would have input, but according to the organizational structure, he's on even footing, you know, the same land as Vic Fangio.
And Mike Kliss earlier when he was on with us saying that, you know, Vic was in on the hiring process of Payton, which we were aware of as well.
Right. Didn't he order the cheeseburger at the steakhouse?
But, I mean, I know that was the case, but I guess I just assumed that the Broncos were functional enough that still that GM would come in and have sway, have power, not be on equal footing. So I guess I got to ask the question.
Sorry, Hans, wrong guess.
No, I get it. So I got to ask the question then. Why in the world would George Payton, who's been waiting 15 years for this opportunity, has reportedly turned down other opportunities before finally taking this one, why would he take this job where on the organizational masthead, he's even with the coach looking up at John Elway? Why would he take it?
Because he knows it's all going to change in a year. In 6 months, 8 months, whatever it is. He knows there's going to be new ownership. It's why he got a 6-year deal. You got to weather the storm, get your feet wet, figure out what this team is. There will be new ownership. There will be the guys who are above you. You'll usurp them all. They'll all be gone, and you'll be in charge, and you'll be running the organization with the new ownership. Right? Don't you have to assume that's the direction?
And we'll throw that 6th year on as sort of the, hey, take one for the team year.
I just think that you go into it knowing that, I don't know what the, I don't know, do most GMs get 6-year deals? Is that standard? I don't know what the standard is, but the bottom line is you're saying, hey man, I'm coming into a situation that's not ideal from a structural standpoint, but I get that. And you know what? That's fine. I'm all right with that.
Just wait it out and then starting in March when new ownership takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Kliss also in that interview with us, by the way, said that all signs point to it being an outside owner.
Correct.
And by the way, in case you missed it, Peter King in his Football Morning in America article wrote that what he's hearing is Jeff Bezos is not interested in being an NFL owner at this point.
Right. He's building rocket ships going to the space.
He's having fun. He's playing spaceman.
He is.
Austin Space!
Go, gadget legs!
Morning. All right. So,
I mean, think about Jeff Bezos. Like, he's just like, I'm bored. Let's go to shipping and receiving and pick out Hank, Joe, Mary. Build a rocket ship. What are you guys doing? Nothing. We're just packing. We're just putting these packages together. Come on over here.
Got another assignment for you.
Yeah. How would you like to build a rocket? Sounds good. I mean, how smart is that dude? Like, seriously.
How much silly money do you have if you can just on a whim say, you know what? I want to build spaceships.
I don't need no freaking NASA.
Right.
NASA?
NASA's in the Bahamas. See, this is why we can't play.
NASA's in the Bahamas. NASA.
You could have got me on that, but it wouldn't have counted.
Right. Now that one,
You just botched that one.
I always say that one. It's like Nevada versus Nevada.
Right.
I don't know. I think both are right.
Yeah, but no one ever said, you know, Nassau for Houston, we've got a problem. Let's go down to Cape Canaveral and where Nassau is getting ready to
check in with Nassau.
Send up a rocket.
Right. Good call. And, that is a good call.
Yeah, on the golf course, say, hey, we're going to play a $2 NASA today.
What is that?
You don't know? Never mind. It's a golf wagering. $2 Nassau.
Oh, Nassau?
Right. Like Bahamas, Nassau.
Does the term come from the Bahamas?
Oh, boy. Hold on a second. Benny, every music, please.
What's the $2 Nassau? 50 cents more than $1.50 Nassau.
So basically, if you want to play, let's say, a $2 Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
It's the front nine, the back nine, and the overall 18. So let's say it's
$2 on each.
It's you and me versus Benny and Raj. Okay, right. We bet $2 on the front nine, $2 on the back nine, $2 for the overall 18.
Is that $2 a piece? So you bet $2 and I bet $2?
Well, no, we're a team.
I know, but is.
Well, we could each do $2. Then it would
be trying to figure
$4 Nassau.
Four.
You can do whatever amount you want. It'd
be $12 that we would take from them.
We would take $12, yes. Easily.
Okay. All right, then, well, that makes. See? But why does.
The more you know.
Why do they call it a Nassau?
Why do they call it a Nassau?
Benny?
Okay. Why is it called
Nassau? Okay. Man, them fingers. Very talented.
It got its origin from the Nassau Country Club on Long Island, where the format is said to have been invented in the early 1900s. See, there you go.
Thank you.
The more you know.
So you didn't, I mean, that's how things get started.
That's how things get started, right?
See, that interests me.
That does?
Yeah, that it's the Nassau Country Club. In the 1900s
is where the term came from. Yeah.
$2 Nassau back in the 1900s would have been big money.
That'd be a big deal. Now it's not so much, right?
Right.
All right.
What if you did a $2 Nassau on Vic Fangio's coaching? Like, how many timeouts does he waste in the first half? How many timeouts does he not use?
That'd be more like
half?
Playing bingo.
And how many?
You got your card.
Yeah.
You got your card of all the.
It's like a scorigami type of
Vic
thing.
Fangio decisions that can be made during a game.
Yeah.
And as they come up, you fill in your box. Bingo! Yeah.
Bingo. There it is. Missed timeout. Bingo!
Unnecessary challenge. Yeah. Bingo!
Bingo! Although he won a challenge Thursday night on that Landry catch that wasn't a catch.
Yeah. Whew. I can't wait to hear about your meetings with them.
So your lack of being able to shut anybody down in critical moments, it's pathetic. Must be driving you crazy, huh?
That's how you finish it.
Right.
Because you ask the probing, tough question, but at the end you show a little empathy.
Right. Man, that's got to be driving you crazy.
Right.
Certainly not your fault. It's those damn, you know what? If it wasn't for those meddling kids.
Zoinks!
It's the Phantom. Vice. It was Fangio.
Pull the mask off. It's John Elway.
It was Elway all the whole time.
The whole time.
And I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Welcome to Bronco Land.
Oh, man.
All right.
You got to laugh because otherwise you'd cry.
Right.
All right.
Just, you know what? I guess the moral of the story after all this is take a deep breath and realize March will be here before you know it. Okay? Just hang in there till March.
All right.
Just hang in there till March. Okay. We're done. We'll see you again tomorrow morning, starting bright and early at 6 a.m. In the meantime, we get ready to turn things over to Chad and Nate coming your way next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.